Welcome back to the Conscious Success Podcast, where we teach you how to master your mind, enhance your health, and expand your wealth. I'm your host, Madhu, former monk, exploring the monk mindset method again today. Specifically, we're talking about the steps around creating your ideal schedule, what is and will likely come up in stopping you from following that ideal schedule, and ultimately, how do you get most of your days to look like what we call your ideal schedule or an ideal day? In other words, how do you actually live a life where you love every single day? As always, if you enjoy the topics that we explore here and you want the worksheets that go along with exercises like the ideal schedule, just join our Conscious Success community, which is the link in the show notes, where you can access not only template for your ideal schedule, but also for all the other resources, dozens of other courses, templates, and many other goodies, as well as how to connect with over 1,000 other members in the community who are like-minded and spiritually growing alongside with you. Look forward to seeing you there. So jumping into this topic of ideal schedule, you'll notice we're not talking about practical schedule or the schedule that can do for now. We're going to talk about your ideal schedule because the step one and everything that we're always coming back to is getting clear on the ideal, getting clear on what you actually want first and foremost. And then if we need to make modifications, we can. So specifically here, I'm going to walk you through the framework of how to create your ideal schedule. And then what we're going to do is create what we call a next step schedule. In other words, here's what you want to do. What can I start to modify to get closer to making my days look like an ideal day? And then from there, we're going to start to explore what are the things that are going to come up or have a high likelihood of slowing down or even derailing your consistency with following either your next step schedule or your ideal schedule, or frankly, even your current schedule, whether it be ideal or not. From there, that's where we're going to talk about the integration process. So how do we now take these ideals? How do we start to implement them into our day-to-day practice? And then how do we track that in such a way as to actually be consistent? Because without data, without actually having some proper tracking, it's really difficult to be consistent with something. It's not impossible, but it's very difficult. Whereas if you have something you can come back to that you can actually say, check off when you complete, which is some of the resources that we have for you, it makes it so much more difficult to be accountable to something in the mind. Whereas if you take something out of the mind, then you can come back to it and fill it out. So let's get into the ideal schedule itself. The principles here are relatively straightforward and one might call them commonsensical, but I'm going to go over certain areas that can very easily be overlooked. So in simple, the ideal schedule is what do you want to be spending your days doing? And we're going to work in a very general movements first, and then we're going to narrow it down. And so that literally means ideally, what time are you waking up most days? And then ideally, what time are you going to bed most days? And then from there, obviously, we can disregard the hours before and after when you're asleep, that is. And then from there, how do we want to actually fill up your hours? The way we're going to start with this is I want to go back to the behaviors. So the last podcast, one of the last ones we covered was behaviors. In other words, what are the things that you know you must commit to doing that will allow you the highest likelihood of achieving your goals? If you haven't done that step, I encourage you to pause here, go back to that episode where we show you how to figure out what habits or behaviors that you can commit to doing that will increase the likelihood of getting what you want or achieving your goals. Once you have those, first and foremost, we're going to start with plugging in what we call your anchors. The anchors are the ones that we really don't want to move at all, like day to day. And then we're going to fill out the ones that have a lot of flexibility. An example might be, you could say work, but depending on what your job is, work might entail a lot of different other things. Or you might say playtime, but we want to know what the heck are you, what does playtime actually consist of? So I'm going to give you some examples here in a minute. Coming to these anchors, what we're talking about is what are the things we don't want to change. The things I'm going to offer you to be anchors of the day are going to be around eating, sleeping, exercise, or just like movement in general, your meditation practice, and then what we might say is other, let's call them essential lifestyle aspects or anchors. And I'll give you some examples of those in a minute. The reason we're going to primarily talk about eating, sleeping, movement, and meditating is if we can just be consistent with those things, do them around the same time every single day, it's going to set your day up and then in turn your life up for success. Around those times, if we can try to set them in stone, and when I say stone, I don't mean every single day for the rest of your life, where obviously again, you're going to travel, there's going to be jet lag, and there's going to be days where you're sick or days you don't sleep well. Obviously, that's there, but we're still going to figure out best case scenario. If I can make an ideal day, what do we want that to look like? And let's start with the eating and sleeping time. So what that looks like, Pretty straightforward. Find out what time you ideally up and what time you go to bed. If you're like, I have no idea, I'm so sporadic, I have no schedule, then we can come back to that one, in which case we just want to take all the behaviors that you want to do and say, which of them do I need to do before breakfast? And then simply say, go backwards. If breakfast is, let's call it 8 a.m. for you. If you're like, ideally, I'm eating breakfast at 8 a.m., and you know that you need about 2 hours worth of behaviors or activities that need to be happening before, then your wake-up time is 6. It's pretty simple. Otherwise, most of you, if you already have some idea of your waking sleeping times, pick that. And if you still have no idea, then wake up with the sun and go to bed sometime after the sun goes down. That's just how nature intended it to be. So if you're not familiar with circadian rhythms, you can check back to our podcast episode where we cover the 5 essential aspects for holistic health, one of those being sleeping patterns. Check that out, where we go far more in depth about your sleeping. But in simple, pick a wake-up time and pick a bedtime. And then we want to talk about your eating times. Now, your body is dependent on trusting you. To the extent that we're eating and sleeping all over the clock and different times every day, your body is going to be in somewhat of a survival mode. It's going to be very stimulated because it's not getting its bare necessities. And as the Lion King says, hopefully I don't get trademark in trouble for this, but anyway, I won't make the bad joke and sing bare necessities to you all to not make your ears hurt, but we got to actually worry about our bare necessities. We got to get to the basics. We have to make sure that we're nourished. Otherwise, our body's going to fight us, and we're going to wonder why we're always in that fight or flight. We're always stimulated. We're always overwhelmed. Make sure you're eating and sleeping around the same time. My offer to you is just pick a breakfast, lunch, and dinner time that you know works within your schedule. And even if it doesn't work in your current schedule and you have an ideal eating sleeping time, then throw that in. And then from there, let's talk about exercise and let's talk about meditation. I don't care what time of the day you do it, but pick a time and commit to that time. Usually these are easier early in the morning. However, I personally like to exercise in the evening. I'm a 6 p.m. exercise kind of guy. So it doesn't really matter what time you pick, but just pick something that you know, okay, I'm going to make sure that around this time every day, I'm doing meditation, I'm doing my exercise. Now, the next question that is likely popping up your mind, but Madhu, what if I don't want to do the same exercise every day? What if I want to do the same meditation every day? What if I don't want to eat the same food? I don't care what you eat. I don't care what you meditate on. I don't care what you exercise, but just have a designated time for movement. Have a designated time for not movement, aka meditating, for focusing and training the mind. I don't care what you eat, but eat around the same time. Let your body start to trust you, because these pillars or these anchors are really what are going to set up your biorhythms. And then we can start to plug in the rest. The fifth aspect is these different types of lifestyle anchors. They're really going to vary from person to person. So this could be everything from, let's say if you're an athlete of a sport and you give the example of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and you like to have some dedicated time aside from working out to practice rolling, to practice sparring, whatever the case might be, you can have a designated time a day for that. Or relationship time with different relationships, time with your spouse, time with your parents, time with your children, time with the whole family, whatever it might be. I want you to then consider, what are the things that are the biggest movers in your life to get you closer to the things that you actually want, to your goals, to your claims, to your declarations. And again, if you're not familiar with those terms, make sure you go back to the podcast where we teach you how to actually set reasonable goals, aka claims, aka declarations, etc. And then we can start to figure out what that fifth category is. In other words, what else do I need to plan ahead before everything else? It could be work, could be whatever. Now, when we're talking about your ideal schedule, once we have these pillars or these anchors set up, the next question then is, what do you really want to be doing with your life? We are going to go live for one of the upcoming podcasts that might be available by the time you're watching this, unless this just came out, is clarifying your purpose or your dharma. We're going to go pretty deep into that, in which case we can help you figure out what you want to be spending your waking hours doing. For now, I want you to work with what you do know. Whenever your mind comes up with these 3 nasty words, I want you to be the boss of the mind and check it. So the mind has these 3 nasty words it throws at us sometimes. And henceforward, you're not allowed to say this to me. I won't allow it. And I encourage you to practice not even saying it out loud to anyone. And those 3 nasty words are, ready? Drum roll, please. I don't know. Ugh. I don't know. No, it's not true. It's not true. Or even if it's true that you don't fully understand how to answer the question at hand, make a song out of that. The question I want you to ask yourself whenever the mind throws up the mental block of I don't know, which is just the mind quitting. The mind's like, I don't know. I don't want to think about this. It's just the way of your mind quitting is ask yourself the question, what do I know about this? What do I know about this? Don't worry about what you don't know. Stop quitting. Don't allow your mind to just quit on you like that. Ask yourself the question, what do I know about this? And so when we're talking about all these other aspects of your day that have variables from work and relationships and other aspects of your health practices or your spiritual practices or philanthropic and charitable acts and whatever else needs to get thrown into your ideal schedule, I want you to go through this very considerate to what you do know you want to be spending your time doing. And we can move in blocks. An example might be, let's say what you do know is that having tried working different hours of the day, even engaged in things that you enjoy, everyone has a limit of how much quote unquote work you could spend doing in front of groups of people or on calls or on video or in front of a screen, whatever the type of work might be, everyone's going to have a limit. I'm just going to throw out a random number. Let's just say you know your limit is you don't really want to spend more than 5 hours a day doing your ideal work. This does not mean crap work, stuff you don't want to be doing. If you're like, I don't like my job, I don't even want to spend 5 hours doing it. Good. We're not talking about your current job if that's not your ideal job. Assuming you get to do what you want, because my friends, you get to create the life you want. And if your mind is throwing up these victim, complainy, whiny, justification thoughts as I say that, then just no problem. Now's a good time to stop listening to podcast. No, actually, now's the time to really double down and listen to what I'm about to say. If your mind is whining or blaming or complaining, my friends, I want you to practice slitting your financial throat. Oh, what did you say, Madhu? Yes, if you can't see me, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, I'm literally sliding my thumb across my throat to catch myself. I know it's graphic, forgive me, but it's helpful to go really big and dramatic on these ways to stop us from doing things that are just incredibly detrimental to our health, aka blaming, complaining, justifying, excusing ourselves from actually empowering ourselves from achieving the life that we want. So if you notice your mind coming up with some of these thoughts, you can do the practice I do. Slit your happiness throat. A little takeoff of T. Harv Eker's principle of slitting your financial throat when you complain, justify, or excuse your behaviors. But I'm going to call it slitting your happiness throat, because if you're blaming, justifying, just understand you're not going to be happy. Rather, I want you to put yourself back in the driver's seat. And if you have a thought that's disempowering, like, oh, I can't do it. Why? I can't do my ideal work. I'm going to have to do this work that I want. I'm stuck in this situation. Yeah, if you keep thinking that way, of course you're going to be stuck in this situation. Duh. All your brain does is try to find evidence to the thoughts you're thinking, the words that are coming to your mouth. Change the thought, change the words. If these disempowering thoughts are coming up, fix them, change them, stop them. And in this way, you'll go, yeah, that's right. I can achieve whatever I want because I'm in control of my life. I get to actually create my future by the decisions I make today. And therefore, I'm actually going to plan for my ideal work. All right, let's call it 5 hours of work that you like to do. And keep in mind, I like to work 5 hours. Like, I love what I do. So 5's good, but starts to get a little much over that. It starts to bleed into the other important areas of my life. Then what you might want to do for now is you just block off your ideal working hours. Some of you like to work in the morning and be done by noon. Some of you don't even want to start until noon. And the cool thing is, it doesn't matter. Just pick the thing you want to do. Keep in mind, we're not locking it in stone. We can always change it later. Same thing with, you know, exercise. If you don't know what type of exercise, just have an hour blocked out. Or if you do know what exercise, great. You say, I know every day I want to be doing either this type of weightlifting. And if I'm not doing weightlifting, I might be doing yoga. And if I'm not doing yoga, I might be doing a sauna, whatever it might be. Yeah, cold plunge, a sauna, steam room, whatever you so desire. But just have the time designated for that. And you can put all of those options in for that time frame. My examples, I like 6 to 7. And I like that as my workout time. So from 6 to 7, I'm doing those are my things. I'm either doing some hot yoga or I'm doing some weight lifting, some strength training, and or if I'm recuperating and resting for that day, I might be doing something like a sauna or steam room, etc. So you can just have the time designated. It doesn't have to be just one activity. It can, as you're clarifying, could just be work for now. But if you do know what you want to do, fill in the examples for that time frame. So at any given day, you know what's going on. Now, again, the reason we start to do this, we start to fill out our behaviors and our essentials and these anchors is so as to give the mind one less thing to do. The main reason people quit moving forward, sports speaker entrepreneurs, in achieving their goals is what we call decision fatigue. If you've ever considered having a podcast, especially if you're expert at what you do, I cannot suggest more highly using Podigy's service, which is what we use. If you like this production here, I highly suggest you reach out to Podigy through their contact in the show notes below to run and host your podcast. I went through a bunch of different teams, tried a bunch of different things. No one came close to what I got post-production from Podigy. And even just making a launch easy, taking your content, sharing it, making it presentable. Please check out Podigy. If you're great at what you do and you've ever considered having a podcast, I really am excited for you to try them out as well. There's too many decisions to make. I'm overwhelmed. It's too much to think of. I don't want to put any more time and attention towards this. I'm overwhelmed. We want to minimize decision fatigue as much as possible. Even so much so, when I was a monk, we make it so simple that you never have to worry about how's my hair look. You always just shave it, shave the head. You never have to worry, what color am I going to wear today? Okay, orange again. Cool. Even the robes we wear, they're one size fits all. You tie them so they fit you. They're just sheets that you tie. It really simplifies. And we don't have to think, what am I going to eat today? All that stuff's pre-planned. The more you can plan ahead, the less decisions you have to make. And the more you have, let's say, an increased decision-making capacity. Because inevitably, the more decisions you make, the more that capacity goes down and down and down. It's more work for the brain. We want to minimize decision fatigue. And that's one of the main aspects we're trying to accomplish with creating your ideal schedule. So map out with the anchors, eating, sleeping, exercising, meditating times, throw in any other essentials there, and then start to block out the time. So you know, I want to be doing either this, that, or the other on any given day. And keep in mind, you can have multiple things. An example is work days. If you just want to work 4 days of the week, and by the way, you might say, oh, I don't want to work at all. That's just your trauma speaking, my friend. You do. Even if that work is, it might not look like what your current work is, but everyone has gifts and talents that can be engaged that improve the quality of life of others. We're talking about that kind of work, something you actually enjoy doing. You have some time, but let's say you only really want to do stuff like that 4 days a week. So what do you do on the other 3 days? Kayaking or spending time at the beach, whatever it might be. You're either working or you're doing X at that day. You can even be more specific. This time of the day, I like to do creative work. This time I like to take calls. Like, be as specific as you want, as you can, is really what I would offer you. Then once you have a general idea, what we're going to start to do is move in a direction to make this ideal schedule a reality. Keep in mind, if you need templates, we actually have an ideal schedule template in our Conscious Success community. When you join our community there, which is completely free, everything that we have there is completely free and available for anyone to jump into. You can find the ideal schedule exercise where you don't have to do this on a random piece of paper, which is also fine. And you can fill everything out as I walk you through it here, and we have resources that even go more in depth to what I'm sharing live. Once you have an idea of your ideal schedule, now we want to move in the direction of making that realistic. Now, certain things in your ideal schedule just might be out of reach right now. You might look at them and say, how will I ever achieve this? I don't know, but that's okay. You don't have to know right now, but we still want a pole star. We still want to know where north is so we can move in that direction of your goals. The next step schedule is what I call, what are the aspects of your ideal schedule that you can, given your current responsibilities and obligations in life, you can start to modify? For some of you, it might be your sleeping time, might be the regulating your eating times, it might be getting more consistent with your exercise or your meditation, it might be one of the other anchors, spending more time with the family, with your partner, fill in the blank. And I want you to ask yourself, and you can't do this until you have your ideal schedule. So if you want to pause the episode here, go finish that and come back, you can do that as well. Otherwise, make a note that after you have your ideal schedule, then and only then, you say, what could I immediately modify in my life according to the behaviors I know I need to be consistent with, because I've been diligent and I did what Madhu said, figured out what I want, and then I identify what behaviors I need to do to get me there. And now I can fit them into my schedule. I'm going to put them at this time, put them at that time. What are the areas of your practices, the behaviors, the habits that you want to do in your ideal schedule that you can immediately start to move and commit to them? I would suggest starting with three. Pick three areas and start with the anchors: eating, sleeping, moving, or not moving, meditating, etc. Start with those ones and pick, say, three that need attention first and foremost. Once you have some movement on them, once you're making some, let's say, forward progress with those, then you can slowly but surely focus on one more and then another one and then another one. And bite by bite, we move in a direction to eventually have your ideal schedule. And there might be some things that just take a little time and life changes to actually come into full fruition, but that's okay, because as long as we're moving in the direction, you'll be happy. And one way to talk about our ideal schedule is your ideal schedule is a successful day, which means a successful life. Because if your days are successful, your life will feel successful. You're doing the things that make you feel successful, whole, complete, and consciously successful, that is. Plug intended. And from there, we start to slowly but surely just move in a direction so as to make it a reality. And keep in mind, it might change as you go, but we still need some template to work off, some schedule, and we're going to slowly but surely move in a direction to actually accomplish our ideal schedule one day, whether that's in 20 days or 20 years. I don't care. But as long as we're moving that direction, we're getting more and more consciously successful in our life. Now, we have a good idea for our ideal schedule as well as our next step schedule and start moving in the direction of that. Now, the question is, but Madhu, what the hell do I do when I don't want to do this? What happens when life happens? How am I supposed to be consistent with following the schedule when I just don't want to? And sometimes my mind goes, yeah, I don't feel like it. Or again, I get sick or whatever it might happen. That's fine. I'm not suggesting there won't be exceptions. I'm not suggesting you have to commit to doing it no matter what at the expense of other essential things of your life. I'm suggesting you have some framework to move towards. But I'm going to give you another perspective, what I call stressors and relievers. In other words, I'm going to go over how to identify the things that are going to stop you from being consistent. And then how do you get back on track when you catch yourself, let's say, out of alignment or not following your ideal schedule. So, of course, these are only going to be relevant once you have an ideal schedule and a next step schedule that you are consistently applying into your life. And keep in mind, your phone calendar can be your best friend with this. Just take your ideal schedule and plug it into your day. So at any given time, you're like, hey, wait, what do I want to be doing? Right now it's 10 a.m. All right, that means I'm either taking work calls, and if it's a weekend, then I want to be spending time with the family, or I want to be at the beach. Oh, okay, what do I want to do right now? I want to do this. It just simplifies your decision-making, and it sets you on the right path to actually achieve your goals. Now, the days I don't feel like it, the days that challenges come up, what do I do? These are what I call stressors. There's different terms you can give for it. The vernacular I use, you can modify it. I don't care what term you use, but the thing we're talking about is, what is it that snaps you out of your core self, your ideal self, your connected conscious self? What are those things that when they happen, they take you out? For those of you who are looking, you can see I'm almost drawing a straight line up and down on my body. Like, this is center. You can imagine there's center. And then what is it that happens that pulls me out of center? So you can think of the new cars out there. They have a feature, whereas if you start to swerve, it starts to beep, 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 and it brings you back on track. So the stressors are the things that start to pull your car out of alignment. They start to pull you outside of your core connected conscious self. And then, in other words, start to make you think, I don't want it. But when this happens, it makes it very difficult to... But I got a boo-boo on my thumb. I can't work out today. Whatever those typical quote-unquote stressors or excuses or challenges that appear in your life that throw you off course, I want you to start with identifying, writing them out. What are the things that typically come up or can come up that are going to stop you from being consistent? Identify them. And you might say, I can only think of three things now. Fantastic. More things will come once you start practicing following your ideal schedule, or we should call it your next step schedule, moving in the direction. You're going to figure out more than three things, all the things that come up that stop you from being consistent. But step one is, I want to bring awareness to them. Write them down. Identify what the stressor is, the thing that pulls you outside of your balance, outside of your core self. Once you have that identified, there's two steps to minimizing or frankly avoiding these stressors from happening. Step one is what we call avoiding strategy. That means, what can I do preventatively or proactively to minimize this stressor from even happening? Let's give you an example of, you want to be asleep by 10 p.m. at night, and you find that the thing that stops you from being asleep at 10 p.m. is that you can't stop scrolling on TikTok. You guys ever heard of TikTok before? Yeah, how about Facebook? How about Instagram? You're scrolling and you just can't seem to put that addiction of a phone down. I get it. So let's say the stressor is being screen time after 9:30. Let's say 9:30, maybe it's 9:55, whatever time you need to put your phone down to make sure you're asleep by 10. Then we want to write down that stressor of being on my phone past 9:55. Then the avoiding strategy or the first step is, what are the things I can do to minimize or completely avoid this from happening? An example might be getting an app that blocks your screen time. There's apps like Apple products have this built in. There's other apps like Opal. I don't have any affiliation there, but these are some that I've used in the past or still currently use on my phone. And you can download apps that actually minimize your screen time. They turn your phone off. They turn the app off, I should say, at least. Or another avoiding schedule strategy would be at 9:55, you have to actually turn your phone on airplane mode, or you have to, frankly, turn the phone off. Like, what is it you know you can do to minimize that from happening? But we also want to have what I call an exiting strategy. What do you do when you find yourself actually transgressing the strategies you've made and you find yourself already outside of your course connected self? These are what we call like exiting strategies, or like dramatic. What are things that need to happen to slap you out of it? Like, what are things that are going to make a big difference to actually make, let's say, shake things up to help you realize, uh-oh, I'm doing something that is outside of integrity, outside of alignment, and it's not going to get me closer to my goals. An example, let's say on the phone, if you find yourself, it's 10:30 and you're like, I'm still scrolling. Then an example of an exit strategy is I have to immediately turn my phone off or immediately turn on airplane mode. I have to slide it across the floor way out of reach. Oh, but it's out of reach. I can't get it. Or whatever the case might be, maybe you get a little lockbox. And if you catch yourself, you throw it in the lockbox and with a 5-minute timer and you can't grab it after the 5-minute timer goes off. These are strategies that are very dramatic. The things when you catch yourself outside of alignment, what can you do to bring yourself back in? So these are what we call stressors. Figure out what's going to stop you from being consistent. And then once you've figured out what's going to stop you from being consistent, what can you do to minimize the things that are going to stop you? And then what do you do dramatically when you catch yourself already outside of alignment, not following the practices you want? And one very helpful resource for doing what we call avoiding and exiting strategies, what I call a reliever. Again, use whatever term you want, but a reliever are those things that you know at any given time you can do that are healthy, or at least in alignment with your values, that are going to kind of snap you out of it. The things that you know when you do X, not to be mistaken with ecstasy, when you do fill in the blank, X, Y, or Z, you know, ecstasy would not be a good example of a reliever. When you do X practice, you know it snaps you out of it and it cores you, it centers you. An example might be, let's say, some breath work. You know that if you do some breath work, if you stop what you're doing, it kind of shakes you out of the funk that you're in or the lower mindset. It changes the pattern and snaps you out of it enough to be able to make a conscious decision, in which case you get back on track and come back to center. I want you to identify these relievers and don't just name them, but be very specific. Don't just say breath work. Talk about the specific type of breath work you know that helps snap you out of it. Or even something simple like a 5-4-3-2-1 countdown. If you don't know what I'm talking about, sometimes when you're caught up with something, just take a second and count down for 5-5-4-3-2-1 and kick back in. It's just little pattern interrupts. Or maybe it's doing 10 push-ups or exercise, whatever you know is going to snap you out of it per se. I want you to identify the specific practice. Then I want you to identify how often you can do it. Is it something that can be done multiple times a day? Is it something that can only be done monthly? Say, kayaking is your safe space, but you can only do it twice a month, then no problem. Identify what ones you can do daily, weekly, occasionally, so that you know which ones can be employed, let's say, when. So the daily ones we can keep in our back pocket, these relievers, like a little pill. I know that anytime I could just do 10 oxygenating breaths and it'll snap me out of it, and then I can actually make a conscious decision and move forward. And I also want you to figure out what's the least amount of verifiable times or minutes to do that. And again, instead of just saying, I'm going to do oxygenating breath, how many? I got to do at least 5 to feel a difference. And I don't really want to do more than 50, because then it just gets a little overwhelming for my body. So then we know, okay, I'm going to commit My reliever is somewhere between 5 and 50 oxygenating breaths to snap me out of it. And in this way, as we start to develop what we call, again, avoiding and exiting strategies for our stressors, we can start to collect a little toolbox of these relievers. And it might just be one, it might be five. It doesn't have to be a long list, but what are those things that snap me out of it? And then you can mentally, you keep it like a little pill in the back pocket. And when you're stressed out, you grab that pill, per se, and you say, oh, I need to do 10 oxygenating breaths. Etc. And then before you know it, you can come back to making a conscious decision. And then you look at your ideal schedule and say, ah, cool. It's 10 o'clock. That means I should be doing X, Y, or Z. And should, I don't mean to should on you. I don't often use the word should because it's a dangerous direction to should on people or should on yourself. But according to the desires that you have in relationship to your ideal schedule, then you can look to your calendar, see what you quote unquote should be doing at that given time. And then in this way, you are certainly going to achieve your goals. It no longer becomes a question of if you're going to achieve your goals. It simply becomes a question of when you're going to achieve your goals. This, my friends, is the value of creating an ideal schedule, figuring out how to prioritize your time, working on the anchors in the most essential areas of your day, creating a next step schedule that's actually going to move you in the direction of eventually following fully your ideal schedule, and then figuring out your stressors and relievers, the things that are going to stop you from being successful and snap you out of your routine. How do you minimize them from even happening? And what do you do to snap yourself out of it when you find yourself just totally out of whack, per se, and make sure that those relieving practices are as verifiable as possible so you know exactly what to do. Again, all of this is to minimize decision fatigue and create an actual plan of action that will move you certainly closer and closer to your goals. As always, if you love the topics that we explore here and you want more, and again, you want the frameworks like our ideal schedule, like our stressors and relievers frameworks. We have worksheets and templates that you can use that go along with all this. Just join our Conscious Success community at the link in bio, where we can give you access to this, as well as you can connect with over 1,000 like-minded people who are improving the quality of their life and ultimately trying to become consciously successful. I really can't wait to see you on the next episode, where we're going to continue on to the Monk Mindset Protocol so you can live your fullest life. See you there. And don't forget, keep it conscious.